Daisy Thomas and Kate McCarthy, this is Triple M's Rush Hour. JB and Bill away on holiday for another week, but this man is not. Damien Barrett is in the studio to chat footy.
It's time for Damien Barrett to wrap up the weekend in footy.
Bit of news kicking around purple as we welcome you.
Hello, Jim. Hello, Bill. There is.
With his positives.
We're all positive.
That's it. Straight in.
18 winners in the weekend, Bill.
And negatives.
Sorry to disappoint everyone.
Oh, negative, Gus.
Bad news.
It's Tyre Power's winter safety sale, so you get the power to buy three and get one free on selected Falcon tyres. Visit tyrepower.com.au.
Welcome, Damo. Great
Hello,
to see
Dace.
You.
Hello to you, Kate and Rabsy.
Hello,
and,
mate.
Good to see your words come out of the mouth in that chair the way they're meant to come out
yeah,
of the mouth in that chair.
Yeah, so. Yeah. The enunciation is getting there. I'll slowly learn.
I like it.
Yeah. What about plenty knocking around?
Yeah, there is. And look, we await the match review office and we can speculate
still
on what we...
Still nothing.
No, it's the way the system works. They like dropping it just before the news bulletin start, I think, and the interest in it. I just can't see a way. And again, I think by the time you come off air tonight, you could well have your official outcome. But I just can't see a way that the match review office can walk past it. So I look at it being as a one-week match review office adjudication. You can all put your own assessments on it. I see it going to the tribunal and I then potentially see it going to the appeals tribunal beyond all of that. But we know that there was a tightening up of the way this was meant to be policed in the off-season. And that is that any incident like the Isaac Kenny on Jimmy Webster moment is going to be regarded as intentional. And as such, it gives it the week.
And that's on the back of the distance from the ball.
Yeah, yeah. And off the ball moments like we saw. I mean, it's almost exhibit A of what they were, I think, highlighting the rule, the new rule and the new interpretations to be.
And I think the thing that they've done well is they have highlighted it, but then the tribunal.
Yeah.
Any cases that have been taken to the tribunal with a similar stance, so Jesse Hogan, Zach Butters.
Yes.
They've got off at the tribunal. So do you see it playing out in a similar circumstance?
Absolutely. I think the whole thing's so confusing. Mm. I've regularly keep talking about the AFL itself wanting a certain rule to be applied and a certain message to be made on incidents like this. And then you send it over to the lawyers who just debate legal matters, not the actual action itself. And then you've got another tribunal, the appeals tribunal, that can even come over the top of everyone to do it. So I think it's a mess. I think it has been for some time. I think it needs to be cleaned up in this whole review of game that is undertaken.
Will you have a problem going forward if they change the Brownlow eligibility?
No, I wouldn't. Not anymore.
Because of how easy you can get rubbed out?
Yeah, I'm pretty close with Corey McKernan. He went on record about a month ago saying, not wanting his Brownlow back from 1996, but his point, I think, was really valid in that the AFL itself has changed criteria over the journey. So why can't they then change it in favour of the players in how favouritism and fairness is referred to? Because look, having said all that, the Heaney it is a hit to the head. So, in an old-fashioned way,
not this intentional though. Like he hits him in the head with a swinging arm, but he's not looking at him.
No, but this is one of those incidents that years ago as well still would have been probably deemed to be one of those weak incidents anyway. Mm. So, look, we can speculate all we like. Hopefully, by the time you're off air today, you'll have it. Max Gorn's another
one. Yeah, the D's had a good win, but Maxie, the skipper.
Can't take a trick, can they? Obviously, with what happened with Angus Brayshaw not being able to play this year, Christian Petrarca, other injuries, Jake Melkshin came back for this game on the weekend, but Maxie himself has all but conceded he's out for at least a week with the damage that was sustained in that match yesterday to the ankle. So, it's a bit of a concern.
All right, let's get into it. I know you, this one's your favourite, the positives. You love being a positive man. You're a big sunshine light, glass half full. Let's go. What's the positives from the weekend?
Well, Daze has heard me being critical of North Melbourne for some time.
You're starting with them as the biggest positive.
North, yes. Oh, my gosh.
You can't not start with them, can you, I think, with what they've been doing. They've had a really good week, 5 week. Break
Absolutely.
Now. It started with the win against West Coast Eagles. And then, obviously, the bookend of that is the win on the weekend against Gold Coast. They had a 9-goal lead against Collingwood, lost by a point. They had a 5-goal deficit against Melbourne the week after, lost by a kick. And they were good last week or so, I felt, against the Western Bulldogs. So it all came together for them. They had a few nervous moments, but their kids are quite amazing. What Harry Sheasel was doing in a second season of footy, and not just racking up the stats and setting the game up, but in those key moments when Gold Coast was having a chance right at the death there again to bring the ball forward, he was the one who stopped them twice.
Same as McKercher as well. He was really good, probably his best game at the level, and just a lack of reliance on LDU now, which is a real positive.
It is great. And the positivity that came with George Waterloo not being there, and he's missed 2 weeks with a concussion. He comes back now. I hope for his sake it hasn't diminished his chances and claims on the Rising Star that Reed and Darcy are ineligible. Obviously, in his absence, I think Ollie Dempsey had a really good fortnight, particularly last week, and was again solid. So I think he's made it line ball, but he's still got enough runway left.
Are you a North believer yet?
Yeah, but they still need to fix up their many problems, don't they? They need to get the backline bolstered, and they need desperately to get something up forward to help Nick Larkey. Another club that we have, I think, regularly and rightly had slows on has been St Kilda, but they've had a pretty good fortnight too. They nearly beat Port Adelaide, which at the time was considered to be a dour, ugly contest, but Port's franked that form itself on the weekend. We'll talk about them in a moment too, but to win the way they did against Sydney Swans and to have Callum Wilkie stand right up and to have Philippou come back in, there was some really good signs there for that club and the way they've just toiled their way through.
Yeah, and I think that game showed a lot of maturity from Mateus Philippou to go back to the VFL, to put his hand up and say, I need some confidence.
Request it.
I need some confidence. Yeah. I need to play. I need to get my football right. And everyone coming out and saying, wow, that's not good enough. You can't just pick and choose when you want to play. Well, I think that gave a little bit of an insight to how things can be done a little bit differently because players need confidence at this level and they bring it in and they put out performances like Mateus Philippou did on the weekend.
Ethan Maldrum, who does the stats for Triple M Footy, this is Mateus Philippou's fourth quarter. 12 disposals, 5 score involvements, 348 metres gained, 4 inside 50s, 3 clearances and a goal.
In the last quarter.
In the last quarter.
Of footy, isn't it? Against the best team in the comp.
Yep. It's good by any level. They did their best to lose it, though, the Saints. So it would have been some nervous moments if you are a Saints fan. Obviously, some good opposition.
Yeah. And again, we'll touch on the Swans aspect of this in the negative section in a few moments' time. But to have Logan McDonald have a second consecutive week where his kick was the ultimate determinant of game. And he executed that one better than the previous week, but it still faded. And he was still a fair way out.
A point's a point.
A point's a point.
Tell you what, you'd be running past for the handball receive, wouldn't you? He's got a set shot next time.
Go and practice kicking torpedoes. You can't kick it more than 51 metres. Go and figure out a way that you can.
Mm. I like the way he took the moment, but again, he's got to live with that for a second consecutive week. Brisbane Lions on a beautiful surge of form, finished the round in the top eight, which is the first time they've been there for some time. And again, it's on the back of their star, Lachie Neale. If he's not going to be in the top, well, he will be on the leaderboard again in a Brownlow medal. He's won one. He's also come second in one and third in another. He's just a vote machine. And I feel his last 8 weeks has been as good a form as he's ever been in. So he's right up there again. Well, well done to Dunkley too, who's had a really solid year, and particularly in this resurgence of the Lions season after the slow start. Jesse Hogan's 5 goals for GWS against Carlton. Just a great story, isn't it? 35 goals for the season now. Sorry, 41 goals for the season now on the 5 on the weekend. So he's in the line still to potentially chase down Charlie Curnow for the Coleman.
He's been awesome. You've got some negatives to come.
So. Yeah, Kate wants to get to a little All-Australian angle.
I like it.
So we'll continue with the positives.
Okay.
Yeah.
More Damien Barrett next on the Rush Hour at Triple M. Jabby and Bill got another week of holidays, so Daisy and K-Mac are filling in today. Damien Barrett has stuck around, by the way. Steve Johnson, not too far away. Get to the bottom of why he went missing in the second half of yesterday's game, Daisy.
Yeah, we certainly will. Are you across his...
No.
Well, make sure
you... Subbed out.
Listen in. You'll get the update like everyone else. K-Mac, you had a really good question before as part of the positives.
Yeah, one thing I want to talk about is just how good Zach Merritt has been. Yeah. He's been great all year. He's been great for a long time now, but I think we're finally starting to put him in that category of where we hold some of the other midfielders in this competition. So my question is he likely to be the All-Australian captain in your opinion? I know we've got Paddy Cripps, we've got Max Gorn, we've got a few others floating around in there, but in my opinion, I think he's really knocking on the door.
It's a compelling enough case, isn't it, to put him into that conversation. And I'd probably still have Paddy Cripps ahead. And up until maybe a month ago, I would have had Max Gorn almost definitely in front. But he's just tapered off a little bit personally. Not by a lot, by the way. We have set such a high benchmark for him, don't we? But with 7 matches remaining, I think he's beautifully placed for that. They sometimes make it, as you know, Kate, a ceremonial type of appointment in that captaincy role when it comes to the night itself. But they might just go back to the old-fashioned, make the best captain the captain.
And I think the way that they're looking at the season from Essendon as well, they've far exceeded, I think, most people's expectations.
Absolutely.
If they finish towards the top of the ladder, I think that only strengthens his case for that to go ahead as well.
It's a great point. Port Adelaide have been under the pump, especially their coach, but
yeah,
another nice win.
They have, haven't they? The 2-point win they got the previous week against St Kilda, it was thought to be, oh, well, you know, what happened
there? What have they beaten? Yep.
But I think St Kilda franked that form themselves yesterday, and then Port went away and just blew the Bulldogs away. And to now get to this stage of the season, 10 wins, 6 losses, absolute up to their eyeballs in a double finals chance possibility. Now, whether they get there or not, you know, yet to be seen. But they've certainly got their season back on track in a very big way. And you'd love to, I just keep using that phrase, the sporting war component. You'd love to go to sports war with Zach Butters, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
You'd run through We've whatever he asked you to run
through.
Been
big on him for a long time, Purple. For a small man, he just has a real crack.
Connor Rosie had a massive start to the game and was probably best on ground, but I just love what Butters did. I love the exchange and interaction he had with his coach, Kenny Hinkley.
Ollie Wines in that first quarter as well.
Yeah.
Big moments.
Yeah, I think he's had good moments this year, Ollie Wines, for the team. Just quick hits on the positive too. Geelong just continuing its recent good form and the change-ups with Tom Stewart's role, Sander Koenig's role, Paddy Dangerfield. Don't for a minute think he hasn't still got a massive role to play in how this season, not just club, is shaped. And he's been massive. Josh Tracy, Kate, 5 goals for the Dockers against Richmond, 35 for the year. He's emerging as one of the stories of the year.
He is, and he's really become a focal point in their forward line. Obviously, Jaya Miss, not as consistent this year as he was last year. Obviously, a young up-and-coming forward, can't expect huge things of him week in, week out. But Tracy, he has been the focal point there and the real key pillar to their attack.
And he doesn't miss.
No.
That helps.
Yeah. There's one game about 3 weeks ago he didn't have the boots on, but he's retrieved it very, very quickly. Mitch Cleary, who is a bloke we do trust on this show, reporting on social media here, a cruel blow for Hawks, Mitch Lewis. Scans have confirmed he requires an ACL reconstruction.
Oh, no.
So that's shattering for him. That was on the back of a knock he got late in the game against Geelong. It was his first game back, wasn't it, for some time. And it was a concussion moment that we thought initially was going to be the problem, but his knee did buckle underneath him.
It looked bad at the time, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, so that Mitch reporting that...
AFL.com.au, you've gone with it too now, Damo.
There you go. I should have gone with that one first. I just, just had a note in front of me, it was the Mitch. So it was AFL reporting it too. So that's very, very sad. Negatives. Losses to both Sydney and Carlton, teams 2-1 on the ladder. I'm not too concerned. The Swans have now lost 3 matches by a total of 8 points. 2 of those matches have been in consecutive weeks, but Fremantle the previous week... There's not a lot to I think, be critical of them with at this stage. It's hard to be that far ahead of the competition, as they have been all season, and to stay up for every single moment of every single game. And equally, Carlton, obviously, with 33 points up, then got 39 points down, but somehow made a game of it late. Now, they ran out of time, but I thought they fought it out pretty well. So there's no alarm bells for me in either loss.
That was the strangest game of football with momentum shifts, wasn't it? So there's different games that, float in and out of how you're going, how your team's tracking. And for one team to pile on the amount of points they did, then the other team would come back out and pile more on, and it just being this seesawing affair for the entire game.
Yep.
That was a really incredible game for that sense, because I haven't seen a game with that many shifts and swings in a while.
No, and Michael Voss spoke post-match, and I'm paraphrasing a deeper conversation, that he was happy to volunteer, but the scoreboard changed Carlton's mindset, and it meant that the Giants, from an early stage of the game, had to chase. So the game didn't get away from them time-wise in that perspective, and then it allowed them to re-emerge.
The tsunami's back, Damo.
Yeah, it was back for that period, wasn't it? A good 2.5 quarters. Yeah.
I think for them, the positive is that it was lost for a while there. They didn't really know. And you could just see quarter by quarter, moment by moment, the confidence in the group was growing. Every handball was starting to hit. There was extra runners in the screen. Yeah. By the end of the game, and apart from that last 5 minutes where Carlton got a couple of junk ones and threatened.
Yep.
It looked like the Giants had extra numbers on the ground.
Yeah, it did.
They were all over them.
And the role of Jack Buckley down back on Curnow, we always thought and knew that Sam Taylor not being there was going to be problematic, and it had been until that point. And I always thought too that the absence of Josh Kelly was also going to be a problem, but it didn't need to be a worry because Callan Ward had a ripping game. I thought Callahan probably had his best game, maybe not for the season, but for some time. And he's so important to them in his third or fourth season. Gold Coast is a worry. Ultimately, they're one win better off than they were at this stage last season. And this was a comparison to the season in which they sacked their coach, Stewie Jew. Look, you can see a big picture to what they're doing with Damien Hardwick, but ultimately they're not winning away games, which has always been the slow on them.
I don't understand how poor they are away from home. It's just something I know. The numbers, the stark comparisons are just huge. You cannot be that much worse when you are away from home.
So what's it saying the way they are to you then, when you now analyse it? I mean, it's 8 wins, 8 losses on the season for the Suns, and all of those wins have either come at home or in Darwin.
It tells me that it's all up here, really. It's become such a problem for them that they actually don't have belief in their system when they're not playing either at the Gold Coast or in Darwin, and that the conditions they think are making such this big deal on it. And their stars just cannot perform away from home.
I think at the level, half a second or a second is a massive amount of time, and that's what they get to apply pressure to opposition teams when it's wet and slippery.
Right.
Take that away, bang, you get sliced through. So there's my take on it
because
the numbers, when you look at them, they're comparatively okay. It's just that little bit of extra pressure they can apply away from home.
Yep.
Away from Melbourne, I should say, that they get at home.
Western Bulldogs are a concern now for their supporters. They had the setback of not having access for this game against Port of Waitman and also Liam Jones. And then they lost Aaron Norton for an off-the-ball accident with Brandon Zirk-Thatcher. They also lost James O'Donnell. So they're excuses, but they were never, ever in the hunt. And it's a worry for them now because the season hasn't slipped away totally, but it is slipping away.
Blues, Cats and Swans to come for the Dogs. Before we let you go, your take. Does Haney get a week?
Yeah, he gets a week from the match review office and gets off at tribunal. And that's just the AFL system at play.
You're the best in the business for a reason, Purple. Good man.
You can hear Damo as part of the midweek rub as well. But up next, Stevie J got subbed out at halftime of the Sunday rub. He joins us on the rush hour to explain
sent to
why.
Hospital.
He was sent to hospital.
Oh, really?
We'll tell you about it off air. Daisy and Kate.